Thank you. Well, actually, you know what? Before we start, can you teach me how to say your name?
Luis Garay.
And then the name of the piece, I want to say it right. Is it, well, how do you say the name of the piece?
Manerías.
Manarías.
Yes.
Manarías. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the translation of Manarías?
Manerías is a concept from Giorgio Agamben's book, The Oncoming Community. It's one of the chapters. So it's a concept, it's no translation.
Okay.
So Manerías for him is, it comes from manare, but he explains that Manerías is not the plural of manare, which will be like many ways of or many ways to do something. So he explains that it's not a plural. So Manerías is a place. And for Agamben, is this place is a sort of a fountain, like a spring, where all forms come from, all possible forms come from. So for him, the reconciliation between the universal and the particular, which is like a big philosophical problem. The solution for him is in the examples. Every time we talk about an example, or every time we mention an example, we are, for instance, this telephone. When I say for instance, so we are talking about this telephone in particular, and at the same time, when I mention an example of this telephone, I am referring to all possible telephones in the existence that existed and will exist. So it's at the same time like an example is at the same time universal and particular. So Manerías is a list, an archive of examples. Well, what is interesting is that every time we do it, I feel as nervous and excited as the first time. That's exciting. And it's like a ritual. And so things, sometimes it really works and sometimes it doesn't. So, you know, like people think that it's always safe, but actually the piece is very fragile. And when it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So we are always nervous. So it's always like alive. The piece is not dead at all. The structure of the piece is very rigid, but the performer has to organize this archive's life. So she has a lot of work to do on stage. And that, you know, and that, and that, and she's a human being. So her mind is really working a lot, organizing all these archives and deciding at any minute what's next. So when we created the piece, we didn't choreograph anything. It's like a system. So we the 7 months that we created it, we thought it as a practice. So we'll just talk about what we were trying to do and research, but it was a practice. It was not, there is no idea of choreography. So she's like a living machine that is organizing information inside a very rigid structure.
How is she deciding what to do next?
Because there are rules. So all through all those months of the process, we just worked on building those rules that are like very complex.
Could you give an example of one of the rules?
For instance, when you're getting close to the meaning of one form, you should avoid it. So she's like she's writing. We work with the body as a writing machine. So when that writing is making sense, she has to avoid that and turn another way, for instance. But that, you know, it's a complex system, and complex means that it like there are many rules at the same time. So for instance, at the same time she has to be aware of what is going on with the audience, of what is she perceiving with the audience. Or for instance, at the same time she has to sort of write information in the space, but with the upper part of the body, for instance, but also another different information with her legs, for instance. So you know, so the rules start to add and create layers, and so that's like a complex system. And for instance, she has to, another rule could be that she has to contradict herself, whatever that means, for instance, in terms of direction or levels, or you know, so it's sort of paranoid. So I think all the building of these rules were just trying to put her in a state in which she's creating her own problems. It's sort of like a video game. Yeah. Like to create a problem and then to avoid the problem and then to create another problem and then to avoid it.
It's funny you said create a problem and then avoid it instead of solve it.
Yeah. Avoid it. Because it's very immediate. Like the nervous system and the actions is very, I don't know, it's very fast. Like there is nothing to solve. Just jump into another problem. You know what I mean?
Mm.
There is no time for solving it. It's just, okay, you got there, you created a situation, then just next.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like try, and then jump into another task. I think about like this tension between hyper-reality and fiction. So all these tasks that were hyper-real because you can see flesh and sweat and muscles, you know, being like pushed to their limit. But all this scene at the same time was sort of created like a fictional landscape.
Mm.
So I like that. I like that. When the audience's minds start to try to produce, you know, this fiction that is not fantasy, but is all about, I don't know, maybe substances in their bodies and just trying and imagine what this scene was, what happened here.
Mm.
I don't know. Yeah, all this effort trying to produce fiction. It's about like how imagination works at the end. So trying to connect the body with the production of thoughts and imagination, how those things work.
Mm-hmm. Where do you live and make your work?
I live in Buenos Aires, but I'm traveling a lot lately. But I'm mostly producing Buenos Aires.
Mm.
Yes.
I am, I'll say it, except for you, I'm totally unfamiliar with what contemporary dance is like in Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires, yeah.
So what kind of community, what is the community like there? Or what do you see as the sort of... who are the people that you feel like you're making your work with, or who are your peers, or what's the community like?
Well, my peers are mostly from the visual arts world.
Mm.
Because I don't know, it just happened and I felt that my niche was somehow more related to what they were doing and they sort of accepted me. You know, it was like a process, like unconscious process. It just happened, and the way I was treating the body on stage, it was more close to like an essay or like a sculpture.
Mm.
And I just started to, and I did a collaboration with a very important visual artist from Buenos Aires, and then, but we were friends before that. So like out of friendship, then I just started attending, because it's a very live community of visual arts. Mm-hmm. Like not talking about the work that is being produced, but It's there are events and parties and all the time, and it just happened. It was just fun to hang around with them. Like mm. we had more things to talk, and then they started coming to see my work, and then the curators got interest. Although it was presented inside a theater space, they got interested, and that's how it happened.
And how did you come to dance? What did you study dance as a young person?
Yeah, I was a dancer, like professional dancer, like from 15 to 21, 22.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be a singer, but then I went to Finland and I was in the choir, and then I realized that the I don't know how you say partitur was in Finnish, so I couldn't read it.
Oh.
I couldn't sing.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I can't be in the school choir because it's in Finnish. So I jumped into dance and art, and that's how it was, sort of an accident.
At the same school in Finland?
Yes, I was 15 years old. And then I went back to Colombia for a while and I just kept on dancing. And then I was backpacking throughout South America, Ecuador, Peru, Chile, and that's how I got to Buenos Aires. And then I entered the dance school, and it's just like happened in a way.
Do you remember like having a moment, like a really light bulb moment where you felt like this is how I want to express myself? Or is it more gradual? Sometimes I can remember seeing like a particular show, you know, like that really, as a young person, that made me think like, oh, this is what I want to do.
Yeah. Well, to me, it happened with David Lynch. Like when I watched his movies, I was like, oh, I want to create this kind of dark atmospheres.
Mm.
Like, yeah, there is something like about unconsciousness, and just there is this strange, like dark, mysterious energy in his films, and I was so related to it. Like, I want to produce this energy.
I'm curious to hear about your collaboration with the DJ who's on stage.
Yeah.
At what point did? Can you remind me of their name?
Mauro.
What about the sounds in his music were you attracted to?
Because they were sort of ravey, like rave, and then we tried to explain to him all the rules that we were talking about with Florencia.
Mm.
So we proposed him that he should work with the same rules and try to do the same with the sounds.
Mm.
So he tries to also do it, to have some of the same rules, you know. You have to be aware of what's going on the stage. He has to be aware of the outside. He has to accumulate sounds, but he also has the freedom to stop them and contradict himself. So there is a sort of a dialogue.
I think I'll just ask you one more question and then we could call it a day. What gets you out of bed? And what I mean to say is what things are you excited about in the world, or artists or books or just things that feed you? And what keeps you excited about making your work? Or being an artist?
Well, it's a struggle because I'm not happy every day, every single day, you know, like I wake up and I also, you know what I mean? It's I'm an artist. Like, it's a hard job. I mean, at least I doubt all the time about what I'm doing and if it's important, if it's necessary for the world, if it's, and you know, and it's both things, like it's completely unnecessary and at the same time it's very important that I do what I do.
Mm.
And I just think that every theater piece is an opportunity to create like a different version of the world, you know, like the world is not a given thing, as we may think that it is, but it's not. And what we see every day in you know, is just one version that you we as a community of humans, we have created this, you know, civilization and this culture in order to, as you said, to, you know, manage to be together. But it's only one version of a thousand and hundreds and millions of versions. So I think that's what art does. Like you create a micro world with its own rules every time, and that's something like amazing. That's so important, to create those spaces with whatever you do, with a poem or an object or a theater piece or you know, on like social, you know, project, whatever you do, is you're just trying to create versions and possibilities of the world, because the world is not given. So that it, when I realize that when something is finished and I managed to do that, I don't know, I enjoy it more than sort of the process. It's like the opposite of what artists say. Sometimes the process is very just difficult.
Luis, thank you very much for taking some time to talk to me about your work and about Maradias. And
thank you.
I very much look forward to seeing it.
Thank you. I'll see you soon. See you in Minneapolis.
Don't forget your jacket.
No. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.